Cafeteria restaurants like S&S and Macon were common decades ago, less so now.
You have squash casserole?
Yes, sir.
And so S&S CEO Rick Pogue says his customers skew a little older.
We have a lot of people that depend on us to eat here every day, that have for years and years and years.
The regulars. And they've been clamoring to dine in rather than take out.
Phones are ringing off the hook. You probably hear them. Are you open? Are you open? Our main concern was is that we do everything for the safety of our employees and our guests.
So Pogue says there are new safety measures. Plexiglass between customers and staff where there weren't already sneeze guards. Masks, gloves, and a hand-washing schedule. Two-thirds of the normal table space, gone. And the kids' favorite, the tree covered with suckers on the way to the cash register, it's out of sight.
Children come in, we will give them a sucker, but we just don't have the tree out there. Anything that was self-service, we've taken it out of the dining room.
On a day, Pogue says there would normally be a bustling lunch crowd, maybe four tables are busy. Still, if the regulars want it, they have a familiar place to let their masks down.
Have a good day, y'all.
It was so good.
There you go.
I'm Emily Jones in Savannah.
It's a hell of a time to own a bar and a tattoo shop.
Suzanne Warnacross owns Ghost Town Tattoo and the Jinx Bar, both in downtown Savannah, where rents aren't cheap. And Ghost Town just expanded into a bigger space, adding to the financial pressure. Even though Warnacross thinks Governor Brian Kemp jumped the gun on allowing tattoo parlors to open up, she's grateful they've been able to do some business.
It's paying our bills. We need it. We haven't gotten any real government assistance.
Her bar was turned down for a federal loan. She believes the tattoo parlor will get one, but is frustrated by what she says is a lack of communication. But she says at least local businesses are helping each other out.
It's really been a great support system to, you know, talk to the other bar owners that I'm friends with, because there's no like one direct source to go to with all of these questions.
Warnacross says she thinks her businesses can survive, but the future is uncertain for her and everyone in these industries.
It's going to be really interesting to see what the landscape is like a few months from now. You know, like not everybody's going to make it through this.
I'm Stephen Fowler in Chamblee. Over a cup of oolong tea, Yvonne Ho explains why she reopened Malmi Bookstore in the Chinatown Mall near Buford Highway May 1st.
We need a revenue. That's the main thing.
The bookstore also sells tea, holds free events, and acts as a hub for the Chinese community, so being closed was hard. But there are bills to be paid, and manager Willow Chen says even being the only Chinese bookstore in the Southeast has not guaranteed a return to normalcy.
Our online sales presence isn't huge, so what we rely on is foot traffic. And as you can see, even though we've reopened, we're not getting a lot of foot traffic. We're not getting a lot of sales.
Some places like Gate City Brewing in Roswell have pivoted. They went from a tap room filled with people to filling jugs of hand sanitizer for local hospitals and businesses. Co-owner Pat Raines says he's worried about what happens if locally owned shops close down.
Small business makes up a huge part of each individual community, and those are the people that I think kind of make up what a community is.
A big question is, what will a post-coronavirus small business community look like? For GPB News, I'm Stephen Fowler.
I'm Emily Jones in Savannah.
And I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.